I would try to parlay that into a vacation somehow myself. But hey, let's pray and we'll get moving. Father, thank you so much for the word of God. And Lord, thank you for Bob's word. That was a good word, Lord, for us and for Amy. And thank you for that, Father. Just a blessing. And thank you for the worship today. God, help me. Because there's so much stuff, Lord, that you want us to know and you want to communicate to us, Lord. And Lord, I really, really want to get out what you want. Help me to prioritize and emphasize what you want me to, Lord, and just kind of throw the other stuff to the side. Bless our hearing. Bless the speaking, Lord. Open the eyes of our heart. Open the eyes of our understanding. Enlighten us, Lord, and give us revelation, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, if you have your Bible, turn to Galatians, the book of Galatians, chapter 5. I don't know where I'll start, but just hang out around verse 16. We'll see where I wind up. So, but I've been giving this a lot of, we're in a series called Salvation in Three Dimensions, okay? And we know man is a unit. We know like there's, you know, Al, you're just one guy there. But we know you have a body, you have a mind, and you have a spirit. Some people call it a subconscious, but it's your spirit, your inner man. And even though we're a unit and we work together, okay, there are different things the Bible tells you to do about each dimension of your being. Bible tells you to renew your mind, doesn't it? Tells you to take your thoughts captive. Tells you to allow the Word of God to change your thinking. Tells you to take your body and put it under control, to control your body. It tells you to put it to death when it wants to act up, all right? Treat it as dead. Through the Spirit, we put to death the misdeeds of the body. And it says we should get this now, and this is powerful. So the mind needs to be renewed, does it not? The body needs to be brought under. Paul said, I bring my body under, so after I preach to you, I won't be a castaway. Now, why would he say that? I'm asking, why would Paul say that? Why would he say, I have to bring my body under, or after I preach to you, I might be a castaway? Why would Paul say that? Why's that? Well, it's Bob, that might be true, but it's because our bodies, okay, have a mind of their own. Even though Christ died for our body, you know, and he died for us, our bodies still have a mind of their own. You know, and we know that. How many of you have ever been on a diet and then someone brings your favorite donut or your favorite piece of pie or your favorite cake and they put that in front of you? How many of you have ever gone on a fast? Be honest. I want to see hands on this one. You've ever gone on a fast and as soon as you went on a fast, your husband or your wife or somebody brought in your favorite food and said, look what I made for you. Have you ever done that? Or you go by the bakery and you hear the Lord say, break your fast now. And you're like, I know that was the Spirit, right? And the reason those things happen, and it's true, we got to know about salvation in three dimensions because we have to understand how this thing works. Why don't some things work for me? Why am I struggling in my walk? Brad said I'm free. Amy sang that we're free. The Word of God says that I'm free. The Bible says if the Son sets you free, Charlie, you're really free. Are we really free? And we're free indeed. If the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Say, why do I have these problems? What is going on? And if you don't understand this stuff, a lot of times it is confusing. We talked last week about being born again. And that means that the Spirit of God or the Spirit of Christ lives inside of you. That means you have the ability, and every scripture confirms this, you have the ability and the power to walk in the Spirit. The Bible says, as many as believed in him, Charlie, he gave them power to become sons of God. That Greek word means he gave you ability. He gave you the authority. He gave you the right. He gave you the power to be a son of God. I think being a son of God is a pretty big deal. How about you? That's a pretty big deal. You have the power to be a son of God. But if you don't understand your salvation and how to tap in to the power of God, you can live just like anybody else. We can live like anybody in the world. And the reason Paul says that he has to bring his body under is your body has a mind of its own. When it sees a chocolate cake, if you like that yellow cake with chocolate icing on it, you'll have two or three pieces before you know what happened. Amen? You know, gentlemen, one of the big problems for men, and I want to keep it holy, but one of the big problems for men can be our eyeballs. You know, our eyes want to look at things that we shouldn't look on, okay, or feast on things that we should not look at. And if we look at those things and we allow those things to dominate us, they can create real problems. Isn't the story of Jeffrey Epstein a tragedy for everybody? I don't know if he's murdered, killed himself. I don't know what happened to him. But what a way to, a guy was like a billionaire or a millionaire. He had all kinds of money. He had all kinds of property. He was very successful, but he had an addiction and a power over his life that controlled him, that damaged and hurt young girls and young people, and even more, he damaged himself. He destroyed his own life. You can gain the whole world, and what would it profit you if you lose your soul? His reputation is gone forever. He will forever be known as a pervert. And that's what he was. Because his body, and there was a time, I guarantee you, there was a time in his life when he had the ability, he had the opportunity, and he had the power to say no, and he didn't say no, and that thing conquered him. Yeah. And men, you all know what I'm talking about. In this area, this is a great struggle. God believes in moral purity, pure living, pure thoughts, pure mind. God believes in it. And as Christians, we have that ability, but don't misunderstand. Even though you have that power, and you do have that power, you still need to do something with your body. Amen. You got to keep it under. You'll never pray if you don't have self-control. Some people say, well, I'm struggling in my prayer life. You have a self-control problem. Peter said, be alert, be self-controlled so that you can pray. So if you have a prayer problem, you have a self-control problem. You're not yielding to self-control. Folks, when we are born again, the Word of God says God has already given us everything we need for life and godliness. We have it all. It is already on tap. It is already on deposit. If you are in the Spirit, and you are if you're born again, if the Spirit of Christ lives in you, and He does if you're born again, you have access to all of these things. If you will but believe the gospel and desire to tap into it, it's yours already. Many folks struggle because they don't believe it. They believe kind of a faulty gospel that they're half flesh and half demon and half spirit. It's impossible. If you are the temple of the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ lives in you by His Spirit, you're not half devil. You got Jesus in you. You've got a mind that needs to be renewed and changed, and you have a body that you need to take control of it. And parents, discipline your kids because they don't know how to control their bodies when they're young. You have to train them how to do that. They won't control themselves. You got to train. The Bible says train up a child that when they're old, they will not depart from it. And I could really compliment some kids in this room about how, I'm serious, how well-behaved they are. That's because their parents are doing and have done a good job. Because kids don't naturally control themselves. Parents have to bring them under authority and under control because their bodies will run wild. They will eat 5 pieces of cake if you let them, I promise you. Well, yeah. But there's consequences, amen? And some of us are tired of living with the consequences. So train your children up in the way that they should go. Because our body will run wild, so you have a responsibility as a Christian, a born-again Christian, to allow the Spirit of God and to believe the gospel, believe what the Word of God says, and operate and exercise like it's true. Now, last week we read out of Galatians. I'm trying to teach you because if you can get this stuff, if you can really believe the gospel, if you can really believe that Jesus Christ lived in you, that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that God dwells in you, that God wants good for you, that God has given you His power, that you have ability and you really believe it, faith is what releases that into your life. If you believe opposite, that I'm just a worm, or I'm no good, or I'm just a sinner beat down by the devil, I'm a victim rather than a victor, even though the Bible says that we've already overcome the evil one, that song said today that we overcame because Jesus overcame. His victory is our victory. It's not that you're so tough, it's that Jesus already beat the devil, and as long as we stand in His victory, we'll be victorious. If we get out there and try to duke Him on our own, we'll get whipped. That's why it's a faith battle, not a works battle. But when we believe this stuff, when we walk in the reality of the Spirit, that power is released in our life. How do you do it, Brad? You believe it, and you live like it's true. Someone say amen, because it is true. I know because it works in my life when I do it. It works in my life, not bragging, I'm bragging on Jesus. When I trust in Jesus, when I connect to the dynamo, when I'm walking in the Spirit, Charlie, it just works, okay? When I allow frustration, I've told you I've had some trouble these past few weeks because of thoughts and things coming at me. When I get my mind off my salvation, I get my mind off the Lord, I start striving or I start struggling, I have trouble just like any other human being because like you, I need to walk in the power of the Spirit. We all do. And as I said, we do that by faith. So let's listen. What the Spirit does in our life, and I've been thinking a lot about this, it says in verse 16, walk in the Spirit. Here's what the Spirit does. It says the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these things, there is no law. This whole book, and we know, you've been taught, this whole book, Paul was trying to tell you that you're free from the law, you're not under the law, and he's telling you you're living in the Spirit now, and the Spirit is going to cause you to obey God. It's going to cause you to walk in God's law. It's going to cause you to walk in God's statutes. And he's saying all these things that he's listing and the love of God, there's no law against it. God's what Paul was saying is love all you want to. There's no law against it. Have as much joy as you can stand. There's no law against being happy. Contrary to what some people believe, there's no law against being happy and joyful. I tell you, I came in last night, Charlie, and you know, and I'm a little afraid because some people are concerned about laughter, like there's been movements in the church and people laugh, and some people are nervous about it. I'm not nervous about it. But listen, I came into the church last night, and my mind has been under attack, and the second that I began to pray, I felt I had joy just starting flowing out of my belly. And it was like God immediately was telling me, he was saying, Brad, if you died right now, you'd be with me. And I just started laughing. I started thinking, man, all my problems are over. I better pray for somebody else because all my problems are over. If I drop dead right now, I'm going to be in heaven. And I was able, and I just had this joy and this reality just in 1 second by connecting to the Spirit. It's in, your belly is the source of your spirit. Did you know that? Bible says out of your belly will flow rivers of living water because your spirit is kind of housed. The heart of your spirit is housed here. Out of the belly will flow. Your spiritual voice actually comes up out of your belly. That's why you don't speak or pray in tongues out of your mind. It comes up out of your spirit. I remember when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I did not believe in praying in the Spirit. I didn't believe in tongues. I was Church of Christ. I didn't believe in it. God didn't care if I believed in it or not. Someone laid his hand on me, put his hand on me, and I fell over, and out of my belly, I just had all these languages and stuff come out of me, and I started crying. Came right out of my inner man. It came out of the inside of me. It's like God released my spirit to pray. It was awesome. At that very same moment, and you guys know this, I quit smoking, and I quit drinking, and I threw my inappropriate magazines away. You know my testimony. When God baptized me and filled me with his spirit. And then, through time, a lot of these other things, some of the fleshly things, guys, listen, some of the fleshly things were taken out of my life immediately, but what God then begins to do is God, because his spirit is in you now, think about this, God's spirit is in you now, now it's an inside job. God begins to work on the inside of you, and he begins to bring his will by working on the inside of you. Before, it was an outside job. God had to put rules and limitations and commandments on you, like you do your kids. You spank them. You send them to bed. You tell them, do this, don't do that. We were under guardians. We were under custodians. Don't do that. Don't do this. Be good. Stop smoking. Stop drinking. Stop being bad. Stop, 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 stop. And, you know, every time someone tells you to stop, what happens? You want to do it more, right? You know, I can just see me tell my little kitties, put some milk out and say, now, Zuma, quit drinking milk. Stop that. Zuma's going to look at me and, you know, you can't. Whatever nature somebody has, that's how they operate. So now God has this inside job. His spirit is inside of us, and now he wants to bring transformation to our thinking. He wants us to think along the lines of the Spirit. He wants us to think along the lines of the Word of God. He wants us to think kingdom thoughts. And these kingdom thoughts and these kingdom realities, guys, are love, joy, peace, goodness, forgiveness, holiness, righteousness, you know, gentleness. You know, Jesus is gentle. The Bible says he's meek and he's gentle. Paul said, even when you correct somebody, you should do it in a spirit of gentleness. That's why in Galatians 6, the verse 1, he says, when you restore, if somebody gets into a fault, if someone falls into sin, you which are spiritual, restore them. He says, think about yourself, and he tells you to do it with a spirit of gentleness or a spirit of meekness. Think about your own self when you're correcting somebody, because the Spirit of God is gentle. It's meek. He's not, Jesus does not have, and I know he ran the folks out of the temple, but Jesus is not harsh. He's gentle and he's meek. Powerful. And these are the qualities that come in our spirit, that come up out of our spirit. So anytime in your life, when things begin to operate, and this is one of the ways that God works, so you know, when you have things that you have pressure in your life, you have things that come into your life, and they bump on you, and they press on you, and when you react outside of these qualities, you should know that you're reacting and acting out of your flesh. And you should take that to God, and you should take that to the Word of God, and say, God, this is not you inside of me. This is not your will for me. I want to conform my thinking. I want to conform my mind. I want to conform my behavior to what you put inside of me. And you allow the Spirit, the Bible says, allow the Spirit to put that to death in your life. Some Christians say, why don't I ever have peace? Or why don't I ever have joy? If we don't allow the Spirit to put to death the misdeeds of the body and we walk in the flesh, you won't have a lot of joy. Now, flip over to Romans chapter 8. We're going to go over this a little bit. But before you do, this is the scripture that was on my mind. When I'm making decisions about people and things and situations, the Lord has brought this to me over and over again. He says, you can judge a tree by its fruit. You don't get grapes out of a thorn bush. Right? You don't get, you know, you don't get love out of a hater. When you're getting pressed, and God just recently has made this more real to me. When we're getting pressed and we're getting pushed, a lot of times we'll see things that don't look and sound like God because God wants us to repent. What he wants to do is to build proven character. If God allows a trial or a test or something comes into our life and it's pressing us and it's pushing on us, God is going to use that trial or that thing that's happening in our life to form godly character. It is testing you so that you will know and God will know and people will know that you're approved. The Word of God says that godliness produces proven character. When someone's going to be a deacon or an elder, the Bible says that they should be proven first. How are people proven? You watch people's lives. You can know a tree by the fruit it produces. You can't get good fruit out of a bad tree. So if you're having problems with your life or with your fruit, one of two things. Either you're not born again, you've never yielded to the Spirit of God. You're not born again, so you're at war with God. Your nature is at war with God. Or when things press in on you and you're struggling in an area of your life, you're not surrendering it to the Lord. It can't be. If you're a believer, it has to be that. You're not surrendering that thing in your life to the Lord. You still believe somehow that you're going to grit it out, or you don't want to change, or you don't want to yield. Folks, that unrepentant behavior, that struggle against God, that's going to cause you problems. How many can say that you've had a disagreement with God before? Be honest. There's been things that God might have wanted from you that you were struggling with that decision. Now, be honest. How many of you, it may have taken you 6 months, a year, a lifetime, but when you finally yielded that thing to the Lord, It was so much better. Young people, look around. When you finally yielded and said, Uncle, Uncle Lord, I'm tired. It's not like God's punishing you. You're punishing yourself. God's trying to say, don't go that way. That's a bad path. Don't do that. I got righteousness, peace, and joy over here. And girls, you know, and it goes for guys too. Young ladies, you can judge a young man by his fruit. If you're dating a guy and he's fruity, he's fruity. Amen? You can tell whether he's a wolf. The trouble is, you might like wolves. You're going to get bit if you do. You're going to get bit if you do. If you like wolves, you're going to get bit by them. You can judge a tree by its fruit. If there's righteousness, peace, and joy coming out of there, if there's goodness coming out, that person is producing good fruit. In fact, God's wisdom itself, the Bible says in James chapter 3 that God's wisdom is full of goodness. It's full of meekness. It's full of righteousness. It's full of peace. The wisdom of God itself is full of good fruit. So the wisdom of this world is selfish, it's sensual, it's devilish, it's jealous, it's confused, it's always warring. Isn't it really pretty easy to tell the difference? You guys are great. I love you. You guys are wonderful. But this is how it works, and it's really pretty easy to tell the difference. So I say I love the young ladies. I don't know how many we have in here today. I love you. I always want to warn them. Man, when you date a guy, someone said this once, and I don't know that it's 100% true as a rule. It could not be 100% true, but you should watch how that guy treats his sisters and his mom. I don't know if it's 100% true, but there's truth to it, right? You should watch how he treats his sisters and his mom, how he treats women in general, because that's how he's going to treat you. You should inspect his fruit and see how this young man behaves. Be warned by that. Our natural carnal self, guys, and we've been over this stuff before, our natural carnal self is at war or it's hostile toward God. But now that you're born again, your spirit and your heart, you are no longer at war with God. You're at peace with God. The battle's over. You can put up the surrender sign. The Spirit of God lives in you, and we need to yield to it. Are you guys in Romans 8? Okay, I'm going to start with verse 5. I could read the whole thing, to be honest, but I'll start with verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, just as those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To be fleshly minded or carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Why, Paul? Because the carnal mind or the fleshly mind is at war against God. It's at enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Listen to this. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in the flesh if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. Now, if anyone doesn't have the Spirit of God, he does not belong to him. He says, and if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is alive because of God's righteousness or because of righteousness. Amen? So, brothers and sisters, it's very, very simple. So, if we're walking in the Spirit and we're dominated by the Spirit, it's not just a matter of Norman Vincent Peale and trying to think good thoughts like self-help. It's not self-help. Self-help says, just say this 10 times or repeat, just keep repeating this or keep saying this or keep thinking this way. When you're renewing your mind in the Spirit, it comes from an encounter with God in the Word. It's you and the Word of God and the Spirit of God. You're working together, and God is building His Word. That's why we don't judge one another, because I don't know where you're at right now. I don't know where God's dealing in your life necessarily right now. That's why we don't judge one another. I don't know where you're at. But the Spirit of God is always talking to us. The Word of God is always available. Ken Kulikowski and I read a book recently, and I just can't get this, the message of the book, out of my mind. It says the whole of the gospel is hearing and obeying God. Hearing and obeying God. How do we hear God? We hear it from His Word. Does God speak to us? Sure He does. He will speak right to your heart. He will speak to you through a preacher. Someone told me they had a visitor with them recently, and I guess my whole sermon was right to them. I didn't know that when I was preaching it. They said, God will use your pastor. He'll use a teacher. He'll speak right to you through a man of God or a pastor. He'll speak to you through His Word. And the Bible says when you're walking, there'll be a voice behind you that'll say, you know, here I am. It says, go this way. Go that way. But folks, in order to hear that voice and to recognize that voice, we have got to want to hear that voice, and we have got to set our hearts and our minds on that voice. Someone say amen.
Amen.
I'm not telling you that all your problems will be gone immediately. They won't be. It's taking you a lifetime to mess your life up. Amen. Sometimes it takes more than a day to fix it up. The Bible promises you, if you don't faint, if you don't give up, if you don't quit, and Paul there, Charlie's talking about sowing to the Spirit. He says, if you sow to the Spirit and you don't quit sowing to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life or Zoe life or the God kind of life. You'll reap answers to prayer. You'll reap blessing. It will come if you don't quit. What's the devil's job? What's he hired to do? Yeah, to get you to quit. His job, he's here to get you to quit. The Holy Ghost, the Word of God, your brothers and sisters, your pastor, the rest of us, our job is to get you not to quit. I know, and I preached on it before about how when I came to Christ and all the pressure and all the stuff coming on me to get me to quit, to get me to go back to the world, causing problems and trials, and God was as good as His Word. I didn't quit, and here I am years later, and I'm exactly in the will of God. And when I first gave my life to God, I looked no more like a pastor. Well, I'm not going to say that, Lord. I looked no more like a pastor. Yeah. Woo! Glory to God. I can't say it. I looked no more like a pastor than the man on the moon. I didn't look anything like a pastor. My life didn't look anything like it. But God knew right then in my DNA, Linda, in my calling, in my election, it was already all there. What God, and I haven't followed perfectly. I'd probably be a better man if I did, but I'm as far as I am because in that, when I came to God, all that was there for me. It was in my spirit. It was in my heart. God's plans, God's purposes, God's calling, it was all there. And the only thing I needed to do, Brad, don't quit. Look to your neighbor and say, don't quit. Don't quit. Okay, it just seems like I just get going and I've got to stop, you know, and I really want to get this down because a lot of you struggle, and you hear these things about victory and the Spirit and getting things by faith, and you know, but you got all these things in your life that are pressing in on you, and you don't understand the battle that you're in. You don't understand the dynamics of it. God's Word is the truth. If God says you're born again and you're holy, you're born again and you're holy, whether you believe it or not. And the sooner you believe it, the better you'll be. But you still have problems. There's still things that happen in your life, and there's things that you need to do to win the battle. And today, I want to share with you how you can win the battle. You set your mind on the Spirit. You set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Satan comes at you and comes at me, and everything he does is to distract you from the Word of God and what the Spirit is saying to you. If God says you're healed, I guarantee you know you're going to have pain, and he says your leg is healed, you're going to have pain in your leg. If he tells you that you and your wife are going to make it, your marriage is going to make it, she's probably going to slam the door on you that on the way out the door that day. You know, God tells you your kids are saved and they're going to heaven, and you get the worst news from your kid that day, or your kid cusses you out, or something horrible happens to you. Everything that Satan's trying to do is to contradict God's Word so you'll believe him instead of believing God. Ken, you had this great illustration in Sunday school about the rope. And another problem we have is, you know, our life, and I got to give the short version of this, but if I had a rope and I threw it all around this city, and I wrapped it all around this city, I could probably do it a million times, and your life on the earth is only that much of it, your eternal life. You're going to live forever. You really can't even compare it. You are going to live forever, and your time down here is that much of the rope, and all the rest of the rope is your eternity, and we live like this little thing here is what's most important. Do you think Jeffrey Epstein wishes he'd have lived his life a little different? Do you imagine that man wishes he would have lived his life a little different? It's over for him. It's done. That little bit of rope's gone. Now he has eternity to live with the consequences of his life. And you will too. You will too. What you decide to do with that little bit of time, that little bit of rope, echoes into eternity. How you decide to use your life. Bible says in Romans 13, 14 that we have to learn how, or we have to put on Christ. What it's saying there, this thing isn't automatic. It's not automatic. You don't wake up in the morning, and I don't wake up in the morning. I've heard some people do. God bless them. But I don't wake up in the morning and spring out of bed and say, "Hallelujah, Pam, praise the Lord." You know, "Get up, Pam, God's alive, let's go," you know. "Put my Superman cape on and fly out the door," you know. I don't do that, and you don't do it either. No, we have responsibility. We have to get up, wake up. We have to bring our body under subjection. We need to set time aside to seek the Lord and allow God to speak to us. We need to put on Christ by faith. Charlie, we need to armor up. We need to put the weapon, the armor of God on and get ourselves ready. It just doesn't happen automatically. You have a responsibility to walk out your salvation. You have a responsibility, and I don't know how much God wants you in the Word of God, but I know He wants you in there. I know I can't get enough of it, but I know God wants you in the Word. I know God wants to talk to you. You're His child. I know He wants you to spend time in prayer seeking Him and seeking His plan. You're the one, when you're tempted, that has to choose in that moment, am I going to yield to the Spirit or am I going to yield to the flesh? The more that you yield to your flesh, the easier it will be to yield to your flesh. I guarantee you, Mr. Epstein didn't start where he ended. I guarantee you, he yielded to his flesh in a small way, and it roller-coastered into an abominable life. The more that we yield to the flesh, the more territory we give to the enemy, the more territory he'll take from us. The more that we yield to God's Spirit, and the Bible says that. The Bible says, if we draw near to God, God will draw near to us. Denny, and I love using you as an example, you know, this thing with Haiti isn't going to happen all by itself. You had to decide, and you have to decide, what am I going to do with what God's telling me to do in Haiti? And it's no different for your life. What am I going to do with what God is speaking to me about my life, in the Word, in prayer, what my pastor's preaching? Am I going to yield to that, or am I going to yield to my flesh? Flip over to Psalms chapter 1. We're winding up. You guys okay? You sure? I got so much more. I mean, I just got tons of stuff, and I can't get to it all. Someone say amen. I always feel like there's half of you saying, thank God, the other half is saying, give me some more. And the way we encounter, the way we live this life, whether God's speaking in your spirit, in your heart, whether He's speaking prophetically, whether He's speaking through the Word, God's voice, God's Word has to be assimilated in us. Jesus said, if my Word lives in you, you can ask whatever you want and I'll do it. That's what He said. He said, if you abide in me, Sandy, and if my Word abides in you, you can ask whatever you will, and I'll do it. But there's a condition there. It's that God's Word, and I know it is His written Word, but it's also what God is speaking to you. It's what the Spirit is speaking to you. You know there's at least one thing or something that God is speaking to you that you definitely know. I know you can hear God. It could be as simple as change your diet, get up early and pray, treat your wife better, I want you to step out more, or I'm happy with you, keep doing what you're doing. You know, hey, I've got a blessing for you around the corner. I want you to be patient. I am going to bless you. I've got a blessing for you. I've got something good. Be patient. It's coming. Don't give up. I don't know what God's saying, but God is speaking to every person through his word and by his spirit. But we have to assimilate that word and become one with that word. In other words, we have to believe it. Real believing is assimilating the word of God in our heart. Listen to this. Blessed is the man or the woman who walks not in the advice, the counsel of the ungodly, nor do they stand in the path of sinners, nor do they sit in the seat of the scornful, but they delight in the law of the Lord, and in his law he or she meditates day and night. Mike, what's the result of that? You shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. When it's time, your leaf also shall not wither, and whatever, I wish someone would say whatever, whatever you do will prosper. When you meditate in the Word of God day and night, when you keep it before you, when you're listening to the Lord, Paul's language, when you set your affection on things above, when you set your mind on the spirit and not on the flesh, he said, whatever you do will prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. See, that's what happens with trials and temptation. They drive the ungodly away. They drive the unfaithful away. They shake them out. But those that are steadfast in the Lord, they stand. And you'll bear fruit. And it's going to be just like God said it would be in your life. I know a lot of you have good testimonies on that. I'll share this testimony and I'll close. And I know you've heard this before, but it has to do with the faithfulness of God. And I do have more on that. Guys, we're in a series on salvation in three dimensions. So we're born again. The Spirit of God lives in us, but there's something we have to do with our minds. There's something we have to do with our thought life. There's something that's required of us. There's also something we have to do with our body. Amen? Amen? But if we're faithful and we don't quit and we don't give up, it's going to be just like God said it would be. And there's testimony. And I know some of you have heard this before, but the story comes to me. I know you all haven't heard it. I'll share it. I remember I had struggled a long time financially. Me and Pam and the kid, we struggled a long time. And I told you about it. And I remember getting hired at FedEx. And I think I've just told this story recently, but somebody here needs to hear it. I remember looking through the stacks, and it was just a very boring job. And as I was going down looking at all the labels on packages, I started to skip a few because it was just stupid work, right? It was something that, you know, I thought it was unnecessary. And the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, if you are faithful in little things, if you will be faithful and do this job like you're working to me, be faithful, you'll run this place before you leave. Said, you'll be in charge of this place. And I said, like, really? Is that you, Lord? You know? He said, you'll run this place. And so I was faithful and I did my best. I wasn't a perfect worker, but I was a pretty good worker. God made me a good, and I was faithful to it. I think it was like 5 years later, don't know the exact time, but in that warehouse, it was at Rickenbacker, they brought a whole division, a DGO, a transport, you know those trucks that drive around? They brought a whole division in there. And guess who they asked to run that whole division? Brad Kittle. And I remember going in there, and I had like 70 people working for me, and I remember going in there, and I remember going through and loading those cars in there, and I remember the Spirit of God saying, I told you, if you would be faithful, and you would do what I told you to do, and you'd be faithful, that you would run this place one day. And it happened to me just like God said it would. Folks, I've got good news for you. It'll happen in your life just like God says. Sometimes we got to dig a little deeper. Sometimes we have to dig a little deeper in the Word. Sometimes we need to connect. And I'm not talking about works like trying harder, trying to make it happen in your own strength. I'm talking about strengthening your connection to God. I'm not talking about like trying to put self-effort. I'm talking about sometimes we need to connect closer to God. Sometimes we got to get our roots down deeper in the Word. Sometimes we need to spend a little more time with the Lord or press in. And sometimes we just need to repent, do what God's told us to do that we're not doing. And I probably got several of you right there. Amen? Someone pray for me because I got to land this thing. Help Brad land. Amen. I'm done. I'm done.